Here we are, and another thing. Mm. Don't you love that song?
Yeah.
I love that song.
Stage your piece tonight.
You always crack me up. Oh my God.
Oh my God. You guys always pick the best music.
And I
you know
do.
What
it's
I
me.
Love? It's always you?
Yes, I always pick
excellent.
The music. Bob picks good music for his show, but I pick my the music
well,
for
thank
show.
You. And you know what? I love being surprised by yeah. it. And delighted.
Sometimes I sit there and I think, oh, because I try to do a little bit of a theme. Sometimes I'm like, fuck it, I can't think of a theme. So, or I can't get three songs that are kind of going to be themey.
Right.
And I figured for this one, you know, for talking with David, we would do the I Can See Clearly Now. And then it's like Stand or Fall. We're going to stand or fall.
Right. We are. But we're standing.
We're going to stand.
It feels so good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it
to
does.
To watch people unite.
It does. It does feel mm-hmm. good, but it's also a little frightening. And, you know, I mean, on Sunday, I went over to my mom's house and spent the night. Every once in a while, I just go over to her house on a Sunday and hang out with her and her cats. Because, you know, I lived with her for a while. And when I lived with her, she had a cat named Sid who was like, oh my God, we love this freaking cat. And he died. And then, so we got two other cats. And that's Simon and Jezzy. And so I lived with them for a while and they were my cats. So now when I go visit my mom, I also visit the cats. And, you know, I was telling my mom, I'm like, it's getting hard for me because I'm agitated every day. And, it, you know, I mean, last week was especially difficult for me because people on Facebook were really fucking pissing me off. You know, they were defending the Green Party. And then, oh, and then the other thing, I got to talk about this. So there's this guy named Michael Motes, and he is some Breitbart guy, and he posted some stupid ass tweet saying something like, Jesus made conservative women beautiful, and Jesus made liberal women ugly, and blah, 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 blah. So I quote tweeted him and said something like, Jesus told me to tell you you're an idiot. And then I answered his tweet with a picture of him because his Twitter picture is like an avatar of a cartoon or something of him. So I just got a legitimate picture of him, just this pasty, doughy white guy. And I wrote like, hi, Adonis. And then he fucking blocked me. So what a baby. You know, so I post this on my Facebook page. And of course, some of the men had to scold me. Oh, we shouldn't be doing this. We should go high. And it's like, you know what? Women have been dealing with men saying crap like this to us for millennia. It leads to violence. It leads to men abusing women. These little stupid, you know, comments that seem like they're no big deal are a huge big deal. And I'm sick and tired of men saying shit like this and getting away with it. So when I post on my page, and this is not the first time this has happened, this is, you know, I get all the shit from men. It's never women. And it's liberal men. And I know where they're coming from. I totally understand where they're coming from. But I don't give a shit because they don't have that experience. You know, I have a little bit of an understanding of discrimination against the LGBT community because I'm a woman and I've had discrimination as a woman. A white man who's really never faced any discrimination, I get it. They don't really see it. I can understand that they can sympathize, but they can't necessarily empathize. They don't mm-hmm. understand firsthand what it's like to be discriminated against. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm lucky. I'm a white woman. And so that means that I have experienced less discrimination maybe than you because you're a Hispanic woman or a Latina woman. Black women experience more discrimination. So I'm not trying to, you know, play the game of I, you know, poor me. I just understand what it's like. And sometimes these, you know, these white men come on and they start scolding me. Oh, well, we need to be better than this. You know what? Fuck it. There's this, I never saw the movie and I really should, but the movie Suffragette. I remember in one of the trailers, I guess like these women threw a firebomb into a store window or something like that. And this man says that they're being violent. And she says, violence is the only language you understand. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of the same thing. I never called this guy fat. I never said that he was ugly. I just pointed out that if he's going to start calling people ugly, he has no room to talk. And even if the guy was a good looking guy, what he said is not acceptable. It's not like, oh, well, he's good looking, so he can say it. Obviously not. But if you're not some hot guy to sit around talking about liberal women are ugly, it's like, are you fucking kidding me? And I'm going to point it out. So I got into it with a few guys. And, you know, this one guy, we had a nice conversation. But this one guy came on and he said, boy, I hope you never have a weight problem. And so I commented and I said, well, you know, I do have issues with my weight and I have also dealt with adult acne. So I understand what it's like. I was never obese or anything, but it doesn't mean that I haven't gone through mental anguish because of my physical appearance. And so we kind of hashed it out. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm never going to stop doing this. And I never fat shamed him because he made a comment about fat shaming. And I'm like, I never fat shamed him. I will fat shame Trump, but outside of that, I'm not gonna fat shame people. But you know, I will point out that they have no room to talk. And so anyway, you know, the third party, the Green Party people were pissing me off and you know, men coming on my Facebook page and telling me how I should behave. It was like, it was frustrating to me. And it was like this one man in general, this one man that did it, I really like him and I respect him. And I disagree with him on this. And I understand, again, I understand his point, but I don't care anymore. I just don't give a shit. I'm not going to allow fucking asshole men to say stuff like that and ignore it. I'm just not. And you know what's really funny on the end of this subject is Michael Motes also blocked me on Facebook, which I didn't have any interaction with him at all. So he sought me out. And blocked me, which I think is funny.
Well, so he's got some time on his hands and clearly has some sort of a complex.
But, you know, so when I was, this was all to say that when I was talking to my mom, I was like, you know, it's so hard for me sometimes because I get so irritated. Sometimes the first thing in the morning I wake up to some fucking comment that just sends me off. And the whole day is kind of that sets the tone for the entire day. You know, I'm just like, ah.
I know.
And you know, I need little breaks, whether it's watching stupid cat videos or hanging out with my mom. And you were saying, you know, like sleeping and performing are like the times you're not thinking about what's going on. And, you know, I mean, I try to find little areas of my day.
My family, my kids and I and my hubby all went and saw Mission Impossible on Sunday night, which, by the way, is killer.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, I just sounded like Kevin on The Office when I said that, didn't I? It's killer.
Yeah, you do.
It was so great. We had the best time together. We were out of our seats. We were screaming. We were eating popcorn with melted raisinets inside the bag.
Have you ever had that? No, but my girlfriend did that with, was it raisin? It was another, I think like malt balls or whatever. No.
You gotta go raisinets.
It's the ones with the caramel, chocolate covered caramel. What are they called?
Milk duds?
Yes, she did it with milk duds.
Duds. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not my favorite. They stick to the teeth too much.
They do.
And the raisinets, they give you, you know, there's something about going through the melted chocolate into the raisin mixed with the salty buttered popcorn.
It makes you both sick.
Oh, it's beyond.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Beyond.
I am sure.
So anyway, that's fun too. You know, I thank God for these wonderful people in my life, my family, who tolerate me through this, because I can get manic sometimes over this Trump shit and the direction that things are going in. I cry sometimes just thinking about the hate and the fact that we live in a country where, you know, human beings are being called dogs and, you know, I don't think Omarosa is a lovely person.
No.
I think she's deplorable and her behavior is disgusting and she's in it for the money clearly. And the fact that she walked away from the White House, she was fired and now she's coming forward with all this crap, you know, shame on her. But we knew that. That's what we expect from her. That's who she is. She's one of those people. In that group, they eat each other's. Mm-hmm. They're going to eat each other alive.
I mean, they fucking tape each other. Who does that?
And the right, and but I'll tell you what. I'm psyched
yeah,
that she's got those tapes.
Well, I hope she does. I mean, obviously she does have some. She's
well,
released
we've heard
some
of them.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I wish the media wouldn't give her as much attention. I just wish that they would only give her attention if she's like, here's the tape. You know, this whole I will release it in 2 weeks crap is too is very
just
Trumpy.
Play the tape, yeah. bitch. You just, owe it to us.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, she, you know, she could have easily put this crap out before she was fired, but she didn't. She knew who she said last night that she knew Trump was aware of this WikiLeaks Hillary email drop before it happened. So she had this information and she chose to keep it quiet. So, you know, she just, she's ridiculous. I do hope that she releases that awful one though.
Yeah. Oh, I and I also heard that she has some on,
Jared and
she's got something
Ivanka.
On Jared and Ivanka.
Yeah.
And so bring that to me.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what she does. I just hope this doesn't become a circus of, you know, Omarosa every 5 minutes with nothing more than just she's going, yeah, this happened. You know, I mean, she said something along the lines of the jacket that Melania wore, the I don't care to you jacket, was specifically meant to hurt Trump. That was definitely a rumor that was going around when she wore that jacket to go visit those children in cages, basically, which she never even went to the cages. But according to Omarosa, that was, you know, something to hurt her husband. I don't know why she
did
it.
Well, you know what? I give nothing to Melania. I'm not going to slut shame her.
Right.
I'm not going to call her out for being an immigrant. I call her out for being, if she's duplicitous enough to put that on the back of her jacket and doesn't have the ball and then stands next to him and smiles like he's doing an amazing job, that's bullshit. She doesn't care. You know, she's in it. She's a wealthy woman. She gets to look like a zillion bucks in really expensive clothes and be on TV all day long. She can't write a speech for herself.
Yeah.
She can't say a speech that hasn't been plagiarized. She has no morals.
No.
She doesn't.
I mean,
the only thing
she
cares about
as well.
Exactly. And the only thing that she cares about is keeping her status, staying, outfitted in the finest designer wear possible and protecting Baron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the only thing I'd wonder is when, you know, Claude Taylor was saying, I think last year, that she had to, you know, sign some kind of a agreement that if he won the presidency, she'd have to stay married to him. I guess they were going to get a divorce, but if he won, that she would have. So I'm sure that there's money involved where if she were to leave him, that, you know, he could cut her off and things like that. So I don't, you know, that wouldn't surprise me at all if that's
yeah,
true.
But she could, you know what, if she had any real balls or morals,
yeah, but she doesn't.
Or she'd leave and then she'd get somebody to write the tell-all
exactly.
book for her. You know
and
what I
not
mean?
Plagiarize.
Well, that's why I said she'd get somebody to write it for her, because she'd have to plagiarize somebody else's book and go,
well,
that's really not
but she's not writing
story.
Those speeches herself anyway. She
oh,
just
I know,
isn't.
but she's co-signing them.
Yeah, she is.
She's a pile of crap.
Yeah, she is. And so, I mean, like, I'm not going to go after, like you said, I'm not going to go after her either unless, you know, she does or says something specifically. I did say something when she wore that stupid jacket. But, you know, outside of that, it's like, I don't really care about her. She's another deplorable, as you said. I mean, she's just one of many deplorables. And,
bye, Melania. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, really. I just don't know. You know, I mean, Lawrence O'Donnell was saying, which I didn't watch Bill Maher this past Friday. I didn't watch him for a while because he was pissing me off. But then I, of course, had to watch the one.
And he's been amazing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've heard that the shows were great. But I heard that Lawrence O'Donnell said that Secret Service was probably going to have to escort Trump out when he loses in 2020, and wouldn't that be a sight? Oh God, that would be
so gorgeous. Awesome. I'm popping the corn.
Yeah.
Yes. Lawrence also, when they were talking about the 2020 presidential election, the person he used in his example was Elizabeth Warren.
Interesting.
Like when Elizabeth Warren comes up against, like he was stating it as if it were fact. Yeah. And that just, that
I mean, it just like warms the cockles of your heart.
That's exactly right. Yep. Aunt Lawrence, oh my God, Lawrence is such a hot.
I love Lawrence. I've always loved Lawrence.
I got to break in just some. It's from The West Wing because it was Lawrence O'Donnell who predicted Barack Obama would run. Oh. Lawrence O'Donnell with the ideas that he came up with for The West Wing, which was to run Jimmy Smits' character, which is a sort of a no name Latino character. Versus a moderate, maverick Republican. Mm-hmm. That was the plot line in the last two seasons of The West Wing, and it actually became a thing in reality in 2008.
So maybe Lawrence is a little psychic.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I like that, Bob. Thank you, because now that gives credence even more to his Elizabeth Warren call. And I think you and I've had, these political conversations with so many people in my life, and Kimberly, you and I have talked about everything, but have we talked about our fear of Warren running, that maybe she would be too, what's the word I'm trying to use? She'd be too polarizing as a candidate. Have we said this to one another? Or?
I don't believe that we have. My fear is not about necessarily polarizing, because at this point, it doesn't matter what Democrat will run. I think that if I guess there could be some independents that would be thrown off by her, but that would like somebody else. But I don't know who. Maybe Yates. I don't know. I think the thing about Elizabeth Warren that I'm not, it's like I said, I'd need to see her as a presidential candidate and how she handles herself, because I could see it kind of going both ways. I could see where she would be really strong and doing a fantastic job, but I could also see where she just might not. I don't know. As a presidential candidate, I think there's a chance that she might not have that thing that, unfortunately, that you need these days to run, which is a combination of like charisma, of I don't know, this superstar. Like, people want the superstar. I don't necessarily want the superstar. I want the person who's going to work. Like, Hillary was going to get the job done. She was going to work. And she was going to take her job seriously. And unfortunately, we've got this whole, it's kind of started with Bush, W, I want to have a beer with my president kind of thing. And, I want to be able to feel like my president is going to keep us out of wars and keep the country safe. Yeah. That's what I believe in. I believe Elizabeth Warren can do that. I have no doubt that she would be an excellent president. I don't know what kind of candidate she's going to be. Is she going to be able to get people who are, independents on her side? That's, you're asking.
I think she could. Here's what I think now. So I've changed my mind. I don't think she's going to be anybody's going to be polarizing. Democrat is going to upset. We have people who just don't want to see certain candidates, and certain people who aren't like us who are going to vote for the zit on your ass that you can't get rid of if that's who the Dems put up. But here's the thing with Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren isn't a business Democrat. Elizabeth Warren doesn't have a foundation. She doesn't. She just has a history of being a kick-ass senator. Now, she's always been put in, and when Hillary was running, Elizabeth was sort of like the attack dog, right?
Yeah.
Because she didn't give a shit. She'd come out and just speak truth to whatever the Trump. Exactly. I have on little gold round studs that I got my ears pierced with the very first time, and I haven't changed them once. And I'm wearing today a blue jacket.
And my collar is up.
And my collar is up, and my hair, look at it. There's no product in it. It swings when I shake my head. But listen, she is a worker.
She is.
Okay? She's out there.
And she is a badass.
When her constituents are protesting, she's standing next to them protesting. She's carrying a bullhorn. She meets her people in the street like Barbara Lee meets her people in the street. And I think that I filled out a survey for Gavin Newsom, and it was like, do you want to hear more from us from emails? It's like, I said, no, I want to look at you in the eye. I want to hold your hand and squeeze it tight when I tell you what's important to me. And that is what people need. And that is what Elizabeth Warren can do.
Well, I'll tell you what I really, and what I really like about Elizabeth Warren, because as you know, I'm no longer a Bernie supporter. I still appreciate his vision. And Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders basically have the same vision. And so I really like that about her. You know, I mean, I like the fact that she, you know, is for all of those social programs that I'm for. I believe that we should have a single payer. I believe that we should have, you know, college that's free. Obviously, there can be the colleges that you pay to go to, but just like with high school and public schools, I think, you know, there's private and public. I think there should be free public colleges. And
without question,
I don't mind paying higher taxes to not have to worry about things like that.
Right.
I don't mind paying higher taxes so that the electorate is more informed. I'm all for it. And so Elizabeth Warren is kind of that side of it. And I'm, you know, I love her. I would be crying my eyes out to see her win, you know. And I've heard people say, oh, well, she's got all this baggage. You know what? Whatever. They're going to say that about whoever.
What's her baggage?
Well, I guess it's supposedly the Pocahontas crap that they call her Pocahontas.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
That's the only baggage that I know about. And that doesn't, it's not even valid. So
let me tell you something. There are so many people in this country who truly legitimately have Native American blood or ancestry, you know, and I do believe that if she made that statement, she believes it to be fact, and there has to be. I thought for the longest time we didn't even know what our family history was. You know, it was legendary. And you know, we had to sit down with my grandmother and have her lay it out for us, and all 82 of her, not 82, but there are a shit ton of us running around, grandkids and and kids. We finally all got on the same page and we understand what it is. And now they have 23andMe, and guess what? It's backed up. But let me say, Elizabeth Warren, she had nothing to gain from lying about that.
Yeah.
And she's from Oklahoma. You know, the Cherokee Nation is in Oklahoma.
Yeah, well,
I know,
mean, again,
because I come from it.
Yeah, well, I think that's all the baggage that anybody's even talking about. But it's like, no matter who runs, they're going to go, oh, that person has baggage.
Oh, fine.
You know, that's just, you know, I mean, I've heard other Democrats say that. So it's like, whatever. I'm not even going to listen to that shit.
I don't even care about that shit.
No.
She's a decent person who's going to get in the street and work with us. That's who I want. That's who's going to have our backs. That's how we're going to restore decency, dignity, and equality. And you're talking about single payer. You're talking about education. That is, as far as I'm concerned, we are Americans. Education is a right. And because you are a person of color or a person who doesn't have money, doesn't exclude you from getting an education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, when I met Valerie Jarrett and moderated that conversation with her and Buffy Wicks, who's running for state assembly in my district here in California, I sat next to Valerie Jarrett, and Valerie Jarrett, some Democrat in the audience stood up and said, I'm getting sick and tired of the Democratic Party. You guys don't have my best interests at heart. You don't, you know, where's my single payer? And she goes, the ACA, that's not getting it done. And she goes, excuse me for 1 second, Valerie Jarrett said. Do you honestly think in a nation that is as divided and as partisan as this nation is, do you think that we didn't want single payer for all?
Right.
But do you honestly think that was realistic?
Yeah.
She said, we had to go for the ACA. We got 22 million more people on health insurance than were before that thing passed. That's a step in the right direction. And I think Elizabeth Warren, you know, Bernie Sanders is pie in the sky to a degree. Single payer. Free college for everybody. But Bernie, how do you plan to institute a $72 billion undertaking like single payer? How are you going to get that through with as many fucked up Republicans in Congress as there are?
Right. Well, that's the
you
thing.
Just you don't just say it and get people whipped up. How you gonna back it up?
Yeah, and he never gave that. Here's how I'm gonna do it. That's like my big thing with Hillary was instead of pretending or kind of coming back with, oh, that's not achievable. I wish she would have just said, you know, hey, we are on that path with the Affordable Care Act. But, right. you know, we've got to deal with the Congress we have, and we're not going to. That is pie in the sky with current Congress. It's up to mm-hmm. the American people to vote in people who will help us get mm-hmm. this single payer, you know, working. You know, mm-hmm. I because all of her supporters right now who were, you know, who hated Bernie and who were arguing with other liberals, they were echoing her sentiments, which I don't believe were correct. Everybody now who was arguing her sentiments then is back on the, yes, we want single payer. People want single payer. Mm-hmm. You know, and then they fall in love with their candidate and then they echo what their candidate is saying. And I just, you know, you're right. Bernie didn't offer any kind of plan. He just likes to throw shit out there and get people whipped up into frenzies. So what we need is somebody like Elizabeth Warren or whoever to say it's totally possible, but it's not going to happen unless all these things fall into place.
It's,
you know,
because
totally
that's
the realistic view.
Right, right. It's totally possible, but it's going to take a while to get there. And in the meantime,
yeah,
we're going to have incremental wins.
That's
as
the whole
we,
point is it's incremental. Yeah. We're not going to just, we're probably not going to go and do this whole, you know, revamping of our healthcare in, you know, 5 months. It's going to be this process that, you know, getting rid of whatever thing that's wrong about the ACA and changing it up and changing that up and then building until finally we've just got single payer. And it's mm-hmm. and or even just making it an option. If we give people the single payer option, that's what everyone will go to. Who's going to choose
that's
private
right.
over single
no,
payer?
Not me.
I mean, maybe somebody who's fabulously wealthy, but outside of that, people are going to go with single payer. So
yeah,
that's
and so,
as simple as it.
And it remains an option, and then there you have it.
Yeah. Well,
we've just solved it all.
I know. Just listen to us.
It's what we do.
Profanity and all. All right.
Well, you barely swore today.
I swore a little bit. I did say fuck a few times.
I swore. I might have sworn too much.
No, there's never too much swearing. Not on this show anyway.
Okay, you just won my heart again with this song.
Woo, all right, well then, I guess this is it. And we'll try to get David Weissman another time.
Absolutely.
But until then, thanks for listening and support our show.
We love you.